to get an understanding of what, you know, who God is. Because when Moses went, he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "Tell them I am that I am." And we get the word, what we call in the Greek, is it comes from the Greek derivative, what we get the word Jehovah. Right? But the tetragrammaton is the letters YHVH, Yahweh, or YHWH. Amen? And so we have to understand that is the name. And in that name, there is salvation. In that name, there is healing. In that name, there is power, wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. I wish I had somebody. There's deliverance in the name. The Bible tells us in Psalm number 23, y'all still with me here, he said that he'll lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Anybody know about this name? He also tells us that at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, whether you do it now, whether the Muslim do it now, or whether the whoever it is do it now, the atheist say it now, they will confess his name one of these days, that he is Lord of all. Somebody say amen. So the name of the Lord, he said, is a strong tower. In other words, it's like the tower. It's like Rapunzel's tower. You remember Rapunzel? Y'all remember that fairy tale? Rapunzel, let down your hair. They couldn't get to the tower, so she had to grow her hair long enough for them to get up there. Amen. They couldn't get to her because the tower was too high. And so what we got to understand here is that the name of the Lord is just like that tower. The tower is so strong and the tower is so high that no enemy can get to you because you're in the name. I wish I had somebody. You're in the name. It's like a strong tower. He said, the righteous run into it. And so we got to go into the name. Well, how do you go into the name? The name, when you go into the name, that means you wear the name, just like you. If you're a woman, you get married, you wear that man's name, right? And so they know you by that name. Come on and say hallelujah. And people have to ask you, what was your maiden name? Because you've been wearing that name. And since you wear the name, you have certain privileges that other folks don't have. You got the privilege of that bank account. You got the privilege of that bedroom chamber. Y'all don't hear me. You got the privileges that nobody else has. And so because we wear the name, because we are Christ, we are Christ-like, we wear the name, then we have certain privileges. I can go boldly to the throne of grace and I can receive the mercies of God because of the name. Y'all ain't with me here. I have privileges. I don't have to stay sick because I'm married to a healer. See, you know, I don't have to get a prescription because he's prescribed his word, his gospels, so I don't need to get pills. I got the gospels so that I can be healed of my infirmity. Oh, yeah, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Come on, let us bless his name. Oh, yeah. He load us up with benefits. He heals all our diseases. And now, a disease is not just something that they have labeled or some disease like heart disease or kidney disease. It's anything that diseases you, that takes you from being in ease, takes you from being at peace, takes you from the rest that God has given you. Y'all still with me? Y'all gonna make me labor real hard today. So the name of the Lord, it's important to know the name. And see, that's why people fight over the name. Now, if we just didn't mention the name, they will accept us. They'll be glad, and the world will be so glad because we didn't give our God a name. We just a high power. You know, the man upstairs, they're good with you saying that. And if you say, oh, the good Lord upstairs, the man upstairs, or they, you know, give them a name. If you say Jesus, it's like you done slapped them in the face. They get mad. They don't want you to mention his name. Now, we can get along until you mention that name. Well, let me tell you something. I got a friend by the name of Jesus. And look, I'm loyal to my friend. You know, and let me tell you something. If you got people that are enemies to your friend Jesus, if you got people that are enemies, if they're loyal to some other thing, if they're loyal to some enemy of Jesus, then you can't be loyal to them. because it creates a conflict of interest in your loyalty to your friend. How many of us had friends in this world, fleshly friends, that we have been friends with forever, and then they have a problem with somebody else, and then whoever it is they have a problem with get mad at you just because you're their friend? I had a friend. I used to work at the paper mill. I had a friend. He's a pastor too. And we worked different shifts. He used to go in and he would aggravate people because, you know, he was one of them that was real smart, and he was going to throw the scriptures on you. And when you try to find your way out, it was like he would use the scriptures and he would just beat people over the head with them. Now, I ain't saying that's right, but I'm saying that's what he would do. And I would come in on the next shift. And when I get there, they mad with me. Only because we were friends and because they felt like I was going to take his side because I had a loyalty to him. You know, and we ought to have that same loyalty when it comes to us as Christians, because we let people go and talk about the Christians. You know, Lord have mercy. We let them, if they get mad with one Christian, they'll find another Christian. They don't go to church, but they're going to find another Christian to try to plead their case to, so that you'll say something about that Christian, and then they go back and say, yeah, I was talking to somebody else, and they say that they ain't right about that, that they go to a funny church. They go to a cult. And we get to talking, you know, we mess around with that and dabble with that. And, you know, all we're doing is causing division. And that is the reason why people say, I don't go to church, because them church folks. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all still with me? Yeah. All right, let me go on. He says, he gets into verse 11 through 13. He talks about pride and humility. He contrasts the two. He talks about how a rich man, he don't trust in the name of the Lord. He trusts in his money. Mm-hmm. He talks about how that before destruction comes a haughty heart or pride, and before you're honored, you find a person that has humility, that's willing to serve, and people will honor anybody that's willing to serve. Amen. Then he says, you know, when you answer a matter before you hear it, he said it's like folly and a shame will be brought on you. So you know how some people, they don't want to hear what you got to say. They just want to tell you what they got to say. And then before they hear the whole matter, they already rush to judgment, and they mad and they angry. They got all these emotions because they didn't listen. And, you know, just like a child, you got a child that throws a temper tantrum. I don't care what you say. They ain't heard nothing what you said. You can tell them to get up off the floor. They ain't heard it. You can tell them, you can have it. I just bought it for you. You can have it. I just took it for a moment, but you can have it back. They ain't heard nothing. And some of us are just grown toddlers. We're just big people. And we're big people, but in our mind, we still just like a child, because we don't hear what nobody else have to say. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear, you know. And we act just like toddlers and throw temper tantrums when we should really stop, think, and listen to what's being said, because when you listen, you'll know how to answer a matter. The Bible even declares that a soft answer turns away wrath. Y'all still with me here? Oh, my God. Oh. So he says in verse 14, I like this now. He says, a spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Guess what he's saying here? He said, if you get hurt physically, because your spirit is strong, you'll overcome. Because greater is in he that is in me than he that is in the world, I'm going to heal up. I'm going to be all right. Whatever you arrows from without, whatever you try to do to me, you try to hurt me on the outside, yeah, I'm going to be all right. But then he said, but when you're wounded in spirit, it's a difference there. I may get sick, I may get hurt, and my spirit is strong enough to have faith that I'm going to make it. But what happens when your spirit is wounded? When your spirit is wounded, he said, who can bear it? Who can handle a wounded spirit? And most of the time when we get a person with a wounded spirit, they begin to withdraw themselves. They begin to step back. They begin to say, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. They begin to say that they're soul searching, but in actuality, the devil is steady pushing them back from the ground that they have gained. Y'all still with me here? They start to say, I don't want to deal with this no more and that no more. And before you know it, they go into a spirit of depression because of the oppression of the devil. Y'all still with me? And if you fall into depression because of the oppression, then Satan is after to make you have some obsession. What does that mean? That means he wants to influence your mind to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do. Then you call that backsliding. Come on and say amen here. So a wounded spirit. Now, you know how it is when somebody does something, you say, oh, that's all right. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I believe that is a lie. Because when somebody says something about you that you trusted, it wounds your spirit. It makes you want to give up. It makes you want to quit sometimes. It makes you just feel like you can't trust anybody. When your trust is broken, you start to feel down in the dumps. And it takes a while for you to heal from that. See, it's like the difference between getting a cut and getting a burn. If I get a cut, bandage me, stitch me, and in a few weeks I'm healed. But if I get some third degree...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Hogan Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, County, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Living the Spirit-filled life. And today I'm going to talk to you about living Spirit-filled. And so I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you? Examine yourself. Are you filled with the Spirit of the living God? Does the Spirit of God live in you, and does he have his way in your life? Amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit is a vital necessity in the days that we're living in. Our hearts should cry out every day, daily, for more of God, because we need him and because of the times that we're living in. Amen. If you've recently started to fall away from your faith in God, then today is the day for you to reconnect and to reconnect in the right way. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. That means that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to say something distinctively clear so that there can be no mistake about what he's saying. He's speaking so clear. How many of you had the Lord speak to you so clear? I've heard people say, boy, the Lord spoke to me just as clear. Well, the Holy Ghost knows how to talk real clear to you. And so he's going to tell us something about the end of days. Or we could say the last of the last days, because the last days really began on the day of Pentecost. You remember Peter stood up and he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days said, God, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. He said, this is that. So that was the beginning of the last days. And now we're at a time in history where we have come to the end of the last days. And the Holy Spirit wanted to tell us something about what was going to be prevalent in the world, not just in a country, but what was going to be prevalent in the world during the last of the last days. And this is part of it right here. And it didn't take him long to tell it because it's so crystal clear, it didn't take a whole lot of words. He didn't have to give a whole paragraph about what was going to happen. He summarized everything that was going to happen in these verses right here. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some, everybody say some, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Glory to God. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit said was going to happen. He said, some believers will backslide and stop believing in Jesus. He said, then in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That means they're going to leave the faith. They're going to stop trusting Jesus. And they're going to backslide into apostasy. And they'll get to a place where they don't really hardly believe anything about God anymore. In other words, people will quit believing and trusting in God. They will quit reading their Bible. They will quit praying. They will quit worshiping. They will quit praising. They will quit giving thanks. You know, the easiest thing in church ought to be able to get people to thank God. Because we're a bunch of believers. We should be running over with gratitude. Amen. Right? I should have no trouble pumping you up to thank God. Amen. Right? But why is it that you say, praise the Lord, and you just got to keep pumping people to get them to praise? You know why? Because they ain't praising when they ain't here. When you're not thankful all week long, it's hard for you to turn the switch when you get here on Sunday morning. When you haven't been doing right during the week, you can't. It's hard to turn it on Sunday morning for a few minutes, right? And then just wait till that time goes and be glad we get past this part. But when we say give thanks to God, we should be bubbling over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with praise. You know, when I got saved, I know Sister Lorraine was talking about in prayer yesterday about how when we got saved back in the 80s, it was just different. Yeah. I mean, when people got filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a fire on them.
Amen.
There's an enthusiasm about Jesus, about sharing your faith, about doing damage to Satan's kingdom,
yes. Amen.
About telling everybody the good news. Yes. I mean, just a fire and enthusiasm. Because what we had received was so much better than what we was living that we literally came into a brand new life and we was excited about it. And so I remember during those times being so in love with Jesus, just fell in love with him. Everything Jesus. You hear his name walking in the mall, you go, up to that somebody, he talking about somebody I know. Let me see what they saying about him. I know him. I know who they're talking about. That's got to be a believer there. Oh, we can fellowship now. But you got believers now. They don't care. They hear Jesus' name and ain't hearing nothing. But I prayed a prayer because I was scared that I would slip away from my enthusiasm for God. I said, Lord, this is so good and so exciting and so adventurous getting to know you. Please don't let me slip back into religion.
Amen.
Don't let me lose my passion. Don't let me lose my fire. I'm just scared that one day that I won't be excited about him no more. Ooh, because I know that's a bad thing. Because religion can't change you. And so that's still my prayer. I need to stay on fire. I need to keep my passion for Jesus hot and heavy. Amen. I can't settle into some religious rut and then be complacent where I'm not looking for change. I'm not expecting any more from God. You know, I'm just going through the motions of serving him. Well, he's never satisfied with that. But look at what he says is going to happen, and it's happening. It's happening right now. This is how you tell when you start departing from the faith. You stop reading. You stop praying. You quit worshiping and praising God. You quit giving thanks. You even quit church. In other words, you ain't consistent in that no more, just when you feel like it. So Jesus not really being Lord, because you lording it over him, telling him what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Quit church, quit giving, quit serving, quit loving other people, quit witnessing. People lose their passion and their fire for Jesus. In other words, they shut down their Christian walk. Just shut it down. We ain't been about all this Jesus stuff no more. Some people just want just enough Jesus to get to heaven. I don't want to be on fire for Jesus. I just want enough to just go to heaven. We have to learn how to live spirit-filled. Amen. Now, why is this happening here? Jesus gave the reason for it. Why would some people depart from the faith? I mean, why would you walk away from the best thing ever happened to you? You know, we sing that song, Jesus, the best thing ever happened to me. Well, why would people depart from the faith? Listen to what he says. Giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, that word doctrines, you look it up in other translations, it'll tell you teachings. Things that demons teach. In other words, people will stop believing the Bible and will start believing demonic teachings. In other words, they will start believing the wrong thing. He said, that's what happened. Demons will begin to seduce them. Deceiving spirits will, they're always on your trail. They're always on your trail trying to deceive you, trying to fool you, trying to trick you, trying to keep you from having that devotion for the Lord that you should have, trying to break your focus and to bring distraction in your life to deceive you that something else is better. And in his teachings, people say, well, the devil ain't never taught me nothing. Let me tell you something. Same-sex marriage is a doctrine of the devil. That's a teaching that comes from demons. That's a teaching that's inspired by demons. That it's normal for two men to be together, two women. We need to accept that as being normal. That's a normal relationship. And guess what? Seducing spirits. Seduction takes place over time. Sometimes it's a slow process. The devil's been working on this for years and years and years until now you can't even hardly say anything about it without losing your job. There are lots of doctrines of demons. Anything that deviates from the truth, any principles that you live by that violate the scripture has been given to you by some demon. There are all kinds of religious doctrines out there, teachings. But some of them, you got to check them at the source and say, do they line up with the word of God? Amen. Does it violate the Bible? And if it does, put a tag on it. Doctrine of devil. The devil's teaching. And he's busy trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to be the one leading you. He wants to be the one guiding you. He wants to be the one that's empowering you to do things. He wants to take the place of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is able to transform himself even to an angel of light. In other words, many people are deceived because they think that they're following God and they're really following the devil. because he transformed himself. And the Bible said that his ministers are able to transform themselves. That's talking about human beings. People depart from the faith because they've been deceived by seducing spirits. They're deceived into embracing and believing teachings inspired by devils. Amen. And another reason not listed here, but I'm going to give it to you, is that they don't continually acknowledge the Holy Spirit and have lost their first love for Jesus. That's why people depart. They fall out of love with Jesus. They stop doing those things that they know that's right. Now, I got to tell you this part so that you'll understand why you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because this is what we're confronted with out there in this world, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if you're not careful, then you will start dropping things, laying stuff aside that was good and wholesome that you used to enjoy doing. You know, whenever you hear Christians saying, well, we used to do, that means they stopped doing it. We used to. I remember when. That means they ain't doing it no more. I used to go to church all the time, and now I just go every now and then. What done happened? Did Jesus change on you? Or did you change on him? Did you stop believing something you used to believe that was putting you here every time the doors open? Did you change what you believed? One time you thought that was beneficial for you. Now, I'm not condemning you, but I want you to see the truth because this was a warning given to the church. Amen. Amen. So I'm sharing this with you so that you don't allow this to happen to you. Believers get seduced away from the truth. Well, you know, all that tithing, I heard somebody say it ain't for today. Well, you've been in the Word, you done seen the truth for yourself, you gonna let somebody talk you out of it? Yeah. All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see that God is dealing with the Apostle Paul in the second letter to Timothy. First thing that he did in the scripture we just read, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he gave them the cause. He gave them the cause of why people will depart from the faith and what they'll start believing. In 2 Timothy, he gives them the effect of being seduced and believing doctrines of devils. Cause and effect. Everybody say cause and effect. All right, the cause is the devil deceiving people and people believing the lie, and the effect is found here in 2 Timothy. Listen, I'm going to read this here out of the New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, he's talking about the end of days again, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, the King James says perilous times. Other translations say distressing times, times of great stress and trouble. Times that are hard to deal with. We living in dangerous times. How many of you know it's dangerous? Oh, yeah. Out there in the world is dangerous. You need to be prayed up every day. You need to be led by the Spirit every day because you don't ever know what you're going to count out there because we're living in dangerous times. Yeah. And the reason is because of the effect of people that have been deceived by the devil. Listen at this. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Now, I got to reading that, and I say, now, in this description of, this is the actions of people. This is the effect of not being led by the Spirit. This is the effect of not believing the gospel. And then I start looking at those characteristics, and I say, most of them are demonic. All right, let me go through the list again. People will be selfish. All right, now that's fleshly. That's people, you know, people loving themselves.